Yeah. All right. So, call me to order. Let's begin the pledge.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic which stands one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, so hopefully this will be the last meeting where the minutes get posted close to the meeting. We did a couple of and they're all up on the website right now. But we did them a couple of different ways. So the December one is an AI extract from the recording. The audio recording that we did for the December workshop. And then the November one was just a standard transcription, right? So the December, it's pretty much pulled right off the recording. No bias or human interpretation possible. And so the recording is also posted, and tonight's recording, I intend to get it posted up on the website under the meeting minutes tonight. But I just wanted to preface that. We're just kind of playing around with different ways to do the minutes to make sure we get them done more efficiently. And hopefully going forward, we'll be able to get them up a lot faster. There's a format that y'all prefer.
One question about treasurer's report. Is that where you are?
What's that?
The treasurer's report?
Not yet.
Still in the minutes.
Still in the minutes. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, if anybody's got comments on the minutes, or then we can move on.
I'll make a motion. We approve the December and November minutes.
I'll second.
Yeah, I can get any of those corrected.
Yeah.
Where's that on the
six bullet?
1, 2, 3.
Yeah. The first
got it.
Bullet.
Okay, so to Mark, and that's
the questions are on.
All right, I'll get that updated.
I'll amend my motion to include those audits on the November minutes.
All right. Yeah, those can get updated and reposted. I'll get that.
I'm having a hard time hearing your voices.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I mean. That's what we do. So, and I will get that corrected and reposted. Okay. Now the treasurer's report. You had a.
I had a question on the November. I think they recommend we stop payment on the check to Jay now that it's been a couple of months without being cashed. Instead of leaving that payment out there.
So it will cost about $30 to do that.
Really.
At least that's the number I was given, and I'd do it, but I don't really want to throw any additional money out there. I can confirm that, but the number I got was it would be about $30 to stop the check. Otherwise, yeah, I'd cancel it.
Well, can you ask her to send it back?
Yeah.
In other words, what's it going to cost us if she finds it one day and cashes it?
Well, I mean,
that's $550.
Right.
Which is 30.
Well, which is why I didn't want to do it in the first place.
I'd clean up the books.
Right. I mean, yeah, because the issue with the phone being we $600, we still had to write her a check for $550. I got to follow up with her regarding the 1099. So,
well, how long did it take? No longer valid to cash.
6 months.
Is it 12 months?
At least 6 months.
Yeah. Is it 6 or 12? I mean, that's another thing I can...
When was that check written?
That was written...
There's no date with
it. Yeah, that's another thing. That would have been written the same time as Deb. So that would have been November 27th?
October.
Yeah, I mean, I've got the... Actually, no, it would have been early. It was earlier than that. I've got it's on the.
Probably be September.
Yeah, it's in the ledger, but I don't have that here. So it would have been done in September or October. And probably not actually written until October because we didn't have someone who could co-sign. But yeah, I can follow up on it.
I would say if you can follow up this week, if we don't hear anything from her, we probably should stop.
Okay. Yeah, I'll confirm that amount, and I'll follow up with everybody by the end of this week.
All right.
Okay. I did want to call out on the December one under the street fund. So the various town electricities are for, it's for the streetlights, the barn, and I get one that says West Main Street.
Guyton Park?
I think it's Guyton Park. So that's the breakdown for those, and I've got that noted, but it was after these were printed. So the $350 one is for the street lights. And 6208 and 1063 are for the red barn. And I've got a message out to our contact just to make sure that those are appropriate usage of the street fund, and if they are not, I will get that straightened out.
On the December treasurer's report, is there a reason why I noticed in November that George came in for $79 for November, and then in December there are two?
Matt brought that up with me. So they are for separate months. And going forward for SureScan, I'm going to make sure that we've got the month and the invoice number on there just to make sure that that's clearly correct. Yeah, those are two separate months. So the one for November. Yeah, we basically got, there's one in November too, but it kind of got pushed back a month. But I can go in and pull all those invoices and update the treasurer's reports to make sure they've got the month and the invoice on there, just so that everything is clear. Again, that's another thing that after these got printed for everybody, I was like, oh, that's something else we should add. So, again, any suggestions for more information that we can put in the treasurer's report, I am absolutely open for it.
If you included a copy of the statements, or if Nicole would provide a copy of the statements, like you do with Frederick County, then we can actually get a look at of each individual check and say, hey, I was making much clearer, and it would be more transparent.
Yeah. Each statement on here?
Each bank account. You have three checking accounts here.
Yeah.
And Frederick County provides not just a treasurer's report,
but the copy of the statement.
I think it's just open about it. Help eliminate some of these questions.
We got those. They are in. Those are all up in SureScan. It's not a problem to include it in the treasurer's report. It's just one of those things where, and we'll get to it in a minute. I've gone through about 50 years of treasurer's reports, and they really haven't had the check statements included. So it's not something we have done. There's nothing prohibiting us from starting to do it. I'm hoping that we can get further and further away from writing actual checks, but yeah, that's can definitely be included.
As we get further integrated into QuickBooks, we can start putting the information, like this is the invoice number and the memo and that sort of thing. So it'll be easier to just pull the report manually. So.
Yeah, because as we imported everything into QuickBooks, every single check statement came up as payroll.
Right.
So there's some getting that up to speed. That's.
And the treasurer's reports seem to be pretty much in line with all of the checking accounts, and it works right out. It's easy.
Yeah.
But there is a little bit more sometimes in the checks, or a little note or something down there. So.
Yeah. And I did notice in pulling all the in going through the records, a lot of times the checks like didn't indicate the month for things, and I've made sure to do that on the checks recently. So, I'm pretty sure there's no prohibition from including the canceled checks on the treasurer's reports. So, hopefully the heat will go up. Okay, so. And I'll go dig out the SureScan invoices, and I'll update these and update them in our records. But definitely for 2025, it'll be in there. Any further comment on the treasurer's reports?
I'll make a motion. Approve the November and December treasurer report.
Can I get a second?
A second.
Okay. All in favor? Okay. All right. Approved. Okay. So now it's a public comment. Nicole, do you have the list? So it's public comment. Mayor and council cannot respond or comment. And everybody gets 3 minutes to speak. Are you able to time that? Okay. So Paul Gilligan, you have 3 minutes to speak on whatever topic you would like.
I just speak because I just came back from a meeting in Urbana. has to do with rural legacy program expansion requests by the county, not from the DOD. The issue with that is in this county, we have two rural legacy areas. They do not articulate, but the county only submits one application. So the county chooses how it spends its money between Burkittsville and Urbana. The expansion is going to capture more money out of the grant request, annual grant request for the Rural Legacy Program, putting it into the what they call Carrollton Manor Urbana area. You are, or the town, is a significant entity because no other rural legacy areas that I'm aware of actually contain towns. And as a municipal corporation, you have a say in how these state programs go. And there should be some leveling effect on how the program works in Frederick County. Now, if you're not familiar with it, the program is a funding program through the state that is used to purchase development rights in the for the purpose of preservation of farmlands. Now, if anyone around here realizes there's farmland still to be secured and saved, but the county is not paying attention to you. So if you know someone, you basically should bring the attention probably to the town, even if they're residents, whether residents or not. The issue being is the county is not looking for who they give this money to in the purpose of preservation. We're being ignored, and I want to try to correct that, and I'll get county records and see who's even under discussion and on the priority list for the county offering a rural legacy money to the to farmers and landowners. Now, the program is unique. It's not a MELF program strictly for agriculture. This is really should be used for any size land grouping, small farm even, that would benefit from this type of funding. To purchase the development rights, to get a check, that's cash payment, and the farm is put in preservation. I'm unaware of whether what stages the Grossnickel farm is, if there are any negotiations at all. I think most of us, I'll project a little bit here, hate to see it go. Point is he aware of the programs? Because I'm not sure the county is offering the programs as okay. I would
we're,
like.
We're at time.
Very good.
Thank you. Okay, Jamie Marshall.
Yes. So I wanted to address the mayor and council. I'm deeply disappointed and frankly appalled at the lack of transparency and accountability. I sent a letter on October 8th outlining a number of areas where I feel we are out of, we're not in line with the laws in Maryland. I never have received any acknowledgement that of a receipt of that letter, and neither have I seen any of the items that I listed on there, which there are numerous ones, on any of the agendas set. So none of those issues are being addressed. I also want to make you aware that the Citizens Review Committee has made me aware of three letters where my name has been submitted as the former Planning and Zoning Commissioner that stating that we gave support for grants. That business never came before the Planning and Zoning Commission. I never signed those letters. I have a copy of one right here that I want to submit for the record. And just by the way, the letter that I sent should be on the public record. That's how government business works. That letter was forged. I'm beyond upset about this. I didn't write that letter, I didn't sign that letter, and that is nowhere in the minutes of the Planning and Zoning Commission from that period of time. So there are so many red flags about wrongdoing and improprieties It just goes on and on, and these need to start being addressed. I mean, we are trying to bring these issues up. We're trying to ask for you to address them before it goes to other bodies. It goes to the media. We need to get a handle on this. We need to get ahead of it in our town before other people get ahead of it. I'm currently serving on the Charter Review Committee. Gloria and Paul and I are going through the charter line by line. We are not following the charter. And if you care, that happens to be the law. So that means we're breaking the law. For example, to be on the council, you have to be a property owner in Burkittsville. You can't be renting. You have to be a property owner. I don't know that that is the case. Matt, have you bought the Guyton property? Because if you have not, then we're operating illegally here. And that's a big thing. That's a big thing for a town government, even as small as we are, to be operating illegally. So I think my 3 minutes are up, but I have a lot more to say about this, but I want to see this start getting addressed item by item pretty quickly.
Can I make one statement? So this is not your signature, because this is the first.
There are three of those letters.
I'm aware of the letters. The fact that this
I don't know where they came from. Yeah. I never saw that business never paid for the zoning commission.
Okay.
I wouldn't be allowed to sign a letter unless they reviewed and they all agreed and voted. I don't know why we spent $80,000 on a garage up there at the Guyton Farm, but I would not have signed a letter saying that the town sorely needed it, because it is sitting up there with the electric turned out. Read the letter for the public record. Could you please?
Yeah, I can read it.
Yeah.
The proposed rehabilitation of a garage located in the Guyton Scenic View Park, street address Lot 1, rear alley north, rear lot of Aholt's house, is in keeping with the comprehensive plan for Burkittsville. The rehabilitation of this building will provide Burkittsville with its own building to be used for recreational activities. This is the only building, one of two, that Burkittsville owns that is large enough to be used by the community as well as park patrons. This recreation facility is something Burkittsville sorely needs.
That is a complete falsehood. I would never have signed that letter.
This is the very first time that I have even been, this has even been brought to my attention that this is real.
If you, Mayor and Council, do not think we need a forensic audit, when you have all these red flags flying around you, I don't care how much it costs, this is not going away. There are improprieties, there is mismanagement, and we need to get to the bottom of this as a town before this gets out of our hands. So I implore you to take this seriously and do the right thing. Thank you.
Okay.
Matt asked him, just to add on recording, what's the date on that?
The date is November 29th, 2021. And Joyce Brown, next.
I just want to ask about the situation.
Oh, fuck, I quit there.
Light down at the barn at Four Winger Drive. I'd like to know the status of that. It's been out for some time.
Yeah, I do have a note. I'm sorry, I was sick all of December, so. Yeah, I was sick all through December. I have a note for that, though. I believe that's taken care of. I'll make sure I call it in.
Has it been taken care of?
I have a note to call that in. I will make sure it's taken care of.
Will that happen this month?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, and that's the last we have for public comment. This will definitely be investigated, and and taken seriously. So next on the agenda is planning and zoning update.
Not much will change from the last meeting. We're still waiting to hear back from the lawyer regarding the rental ordinance that we drafted and trying to get some feedback from the lawyer there. We are reaching out to the county to ask them what their procedures are for septic ordinance if we suspect that some septic system is failing. So we just started talking with them about that this past week. We are reviewing the comprehensive plan. We're on section 4 of the comprehensive plan. Believe we have to get that updated this year because it's every 10 years. And last time it was updated was 2015. Most importantly, though, we are still looking for a zoning administrator, and we reached out to Brunswick to see if they'd be able to offer us some technical assistance. They said that they are going to draft an MOU for you to review, of course, where they would provide us with assistance whenever we have questions about zoning. They would provide us with code enforcement, that sort of thing. They're looking at possibly charging us around $6,000 for the year to do that, which is about what we were paying our previous zoning administrator. So again, that's just an MOU that they're drafting. They'll get that to us and put that before the council for you guys to review and to vote on. Other than that, we're still looking for a lot of people. My tenure as chair is up, so I would like to step down. If I step down, planning and zoning cannot meet because we only have 3 people. So we're looking for people to step up and serve the town. Questions?
Not a moment. Thank you. Move on to new business. The election is this year in June. There's the nominating convention on May 5th, and time and location to be determined, and the election will be held on June 2nd. That's for mayor and council. And that is on the calendar. Don't really have any more to say about that. Just getting it out there for public notice.
Is there a time in June, or I mean in May 5th, that it starts? Or?
It's usually in the evening. I need to make sure, Randy, that we can get the Raritan. So probably 7.
That's up here.
Yeah. I just need to make sure that the date is available. On June 2nd, according to the charter, the election's held from 2 p.m. to 7 p.m. Although that can be adjusted.
And Nicole knows she's chairman. That's,
it's chairman and also can appoint someone else if necessary.
And during election
budget. Yeah. So the next item, and I mentioned this to council, that we still have an open program, open space reimbursement for the barn / visitor center. About, we get a $47,000 reimbursement. That's still out there. About $49,000 has been spent so far, and we've got the receipts from Blue Ridge Floors on that. But we do have to put up 25% matching funds in order to get that full reimbursement. There still needs to be a bathroom put in there, and also the compressor in the back for the AC is beginning to settle and needs to be shored up. But I just wanted to put that out there for council, regarding next steps on what we want to do with that. Because, we can't really do anything with that building without without a bathroom.
From what I understand, the bathroom was supposed to be some kind of, at least the toilet was supposed to be some kind of incinerator. And that was on the previous plans to make it some kind of a green thing. Is that still, Do we have any concrete plans that we want to go forward with, or do you want to discuss this somehow, how to finish this out?
I just want to put it out there for ideas for finishing out. I have not seen anything with a plan or proposal for the bathroom there. I mean, if you got something that I don't have.
I had a plan.
So there was an idea to put a restroom in there, a green restroom, but.
No, I didn't bring that with me. There is a drawing that went to planning and zoning of Frederick County, but it has since then elapsed, and a new one has to be done, a new permit. And it asked for an incinerator-type toilet, and then I started researching these kinds of toilets. I think you need to back up. There was a water line that was installed from the existing well into the Red Barn. And I think there's a cover in there, isn't there, Matt, that's supposed to be insulated, I think, because the pressure tank will be in there and the regulator and things of that sort, so it doesn't freeze. But nowhere else have I seen any rough-in plumbing. So this incinerator-type toilet is kind of like a porta-potty. You set it in the middle of the floor, and it runs off either electric or propane. So the people who use it now have to take a large paper cup and put it inside the toilet, and then whatever happens after that, you close the lid and press the button, and either the propane or the electric burns supposedly everything up, and it goes down into a tray, and that's pulled out and emptied into the garbage. But I didn't see anything in there for a water line for even a basin to wash your hands with. So I'm thinking that we really need to get together and get some kind of a plan of what we want to do and how it conforms to the green. Mm-hmm. We still get regular water plumbing. I mean, a toilet with a 1.5 gallon would be green, or 1.2 gallon would still be green. I don't think we should go with that incinerator type. I think the people are, I wouldn't know how to use it. Or if it's got a big copy of some kind of picture blueprint. But I don't think it's very good for the town to have it. And you can only use it one at a time. It has to incinerate before the next person can go in. So the whole thing.
Is it just like, requires
you better off putting the porta potty in the back and be done with it.
So
we still need to think about that water line. Pardon?
Is it just that it requires a green option or specifically this type? I used to work in green housing. So is it just that it requires a green option or specifically an incinerator toilet? Because there are tons of other green or eco-friendly options that are not specifically that incinerator style.
There are, but we need to go back and look at the water line to see if there's anything in there even to wash hands. Right now, I don't see any rough-in plumbing. And according to the old documents that went for this grant, they were going to use this. So they still have, planning and zoning still has this information. My recommendation is to put together a plan, and we might need an architect because it's also ADA compliant.
Yeah.
And so we still need that 5-foot circumference around the toilet or within that area. And then I'm not sure about a ramp getting in to the door. But anyway, we either need an architect or go through and itemize what we want to do and say, hey, we can spend an inset of prints. And then, of course, we need to advertise it because it's going to be more than $13,000.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it definitely would have to go out to bid. I mean, I
can't say go back to the same people that did it without advertising and making sure we got a good set of contract documents and what the town needs and what they want. So,
yeah.
How long do we have to get the money? Is that the question?
It's not a. I mean, that's not a. There's no expiration.
It's not your money, so.
Yeah, it's. We just need to spend another 13 in order to get the 47 back.
I mean, it's far less expensive and.
Probably already spent it somewhere.
I mean, I've only found. Because the
here's one document I have on the green, and that has kind of a Chuck came up with chronological order of what happened back in since 2015 through the present.
Yeah, this is what I'd asked for, okay. Which we didn't. I'm not going to read through it, but do you have a? Do you mind if I keep this?
Oh, I hope so. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So yeah, I mean, I wanted to put that out there because I think it's something we do need to. Jamie, is that building one of the buildings that there's a letter with your name on it?
Yeah. And I know that we sat right here when Blue Ridge said they were donating the bathroom. And Dad, you know that. We sat right here at this meeting.
They composted.
Yeah.
Not incinerator.
I've heard talk about a donated bathroom, but that's been years now, and
composting is like a quarter of the cost of the incinerator, and there's a significant difference. Yeah, composting is what it sounds like. It's composting.
Yeah.
It goes to a tank underground.
Probably at the parks.
Yeah, or like you're outside the unit. You can even use them in like a tiny home kind of structure, and it does just what it sounds like. It composts, and then you can empty out your compost. It basically has like wood chips or something in the bottom of it as well.
Yeah. But we would still need a sink.
Yes. So. You could also, because it's a small unit, you would be able to put like a water tank outside and not necessarily need to have running water. So, greenhouse nerd here. I worked for a building inspection company that did lead inspections and stuff for 5 years. So, yeah.
Okay.
It's kind of a niche thing.
Okay. Well,
pushing my nerd button here.
All right. Well, I mean, I'll review this. I think we should look at getting the look at the options, and I think we're gonna have to, because this donated bathroom.
Back in 1973, further back in park. There was a trailer on top of the hill, so there's a septic system and a well about 200 feet from that thing, from my trailer, because the trailers were outlawed, and you had to take a trailer out, but the septic system and a well back there. It happened back in 73. Mr. Harry Piper Harry Piper put a trailer up there. So if you put a regular bath in, you could pump the, dig a ditch down to it with a septic and everything in it, put a pump there and pump it uphill. That's just a suggestion.
Yeah.
Still expensive suggestion.
Yeah.
There's alternatives.
Yeah.
Well, it's worth looking at options. And
I mean, for what it's worth, the only special instructions, air quotes, with the composting toilet is that it has a little, like, kind of like a churn, if you think about like a pirate ship, the wheel on the side of the toilet, and that you cannot stand. You have to sit. Everybody has to sit.
Mm.
That's all it takes. Very easy.
Well, I think we can get the options. Yeah. Look at the options and move forward. So to move on to old business. So I've been working on archiving the documents and getting them loaded in the Shore Scan. Been concentrating on 21st century treasurer's reports and minutes. At this point, what I've located has been scanned into Shore Scan, and the last 75 years worth of minutes are organized in the Red Barn. Two doors going back to 1948. And speaking with the accountant today, they suggested possibility of, once we get some of the older financial documents scanned and archived, that we might want to reach out to the Maryland archives to see if they would be interested in taking some of those documents that we don't really need to retain. The minutes need to be kept forever, but the other documents don't. And it's usually about 7 years. So I'm still working on organizing what we have in there. I'm concentrating on things from the last 10 years as a priority. But minutes and treasurer's reports with a couple of gaps are there. And I think as of yesterday, I've got about 1,000 documents scanned into SureScan the past 3 months. Is there any questions on that? Okay, so I guess the mowing contract. So we've got a several-page proposal for mowing and landscaping for the just under 4 acres in town that need to be mowed. This seems a little excessive. It seems a little excessive. I mean, most towns for this sort of area, it's about a two-page document. I shared a Rosemont's.
Village of Rosemont.
Right.
Well, it's nice to deal with the Rosemont, and I can understand why they have a one-page document or two-page document, because they're mowing around the pond down to Lions Club. And this is actually for renewal versus anything new to the public that you sent out. There's no quantities in the Rosemont, and so if we were to send a document like that out to the public, they wouldn't know what they're mowing. I don't see how they can even bid on it.
I mean, that's
why it looks a little excessive, but I'm trying to protect the town. I'm trying to get the town to write the specs for what they want versus what somebody else may want. And I don't know if being the length is what interferes with anything. I don't understand that part of it, Michael.
So, I mean, we can definitely list the areas that need to be
So what areas are you talking about?
I mean, we have the list of the... So we have the list here. I mean, that's no problem listing where we... Where we're mowing. We've got questions about not mowing on Saturday and Sunday.
I forgot to put the time in it. That might be between 6 a.m. and 4 p.m. Monday through Friday, because Saturday and Sunday, the town has things that they do. People like to fish on Saturday and Sunday, they have events on Saturday and Sunday. I don't want mowing to interfere with what the town may be doing. But that's why I specifically said Monday through Friday.
So
I'd like to see the daytime earliest, the better, for as a compromise, because it gets pretty hot, and if we can get the mowing done in town before people get home from work, so they don't have to listen to the mowing as well. That's my rationale behind it. But you know, it's a little more detailed. It does go in very specific. I've got scope of services, hours of work, scheduling of work, and I have inspections and the general standards of what I feel that the town deserves. And once you get to,
I'm trying to be.
I don't understand where it's too long. It'd be nice if you were to write it, send me the you know, your corrections, or we sit down, we talk about it, and run through this, you know, like the four of us here, and we sit and we can go line by line and say, what would you like?
Well, the thing is, if the four of us are talking about it, it has to be a public review, which
so
is...
What do you want to change?
So, why do we need a weekly report? Showing that, I mean, why does the contractor need to do a weekly report showing that the tasks are completed? I mean, is this a regular thing that is done when with these sort of contracts?
What page is that, Mark?
That is on page 2.
A weekly report. If somebody's in contact with the mower, that's fine. We'll delete it.
And so the Saturday and Sunday, depending on weather, and I don't think we should prohibit Saturday or Sunday. Because those have been dates that have, mowing has been done on those dates. On those days of the week in the past, is that?
Well, I think we've also said to the contractor we can consult the town of Burkittsville or his or designation for coordination in lieu of what bad weather or something. So there's always negotiations there. So all right, so we got two things here.
Yeah. That got removed. The speaking English is not in here anymore.
I asked for one person to make sure that they would speak conforming, and somebody represents that company to speak English, because right now there are a lot of people who are Hispanic, they do wonderful work, but sometimes they don't all speak English. We need somebody who can confer with the town, and we all speak English. I'm sorry, I do not speak Spanish. I don't know if you guys speak Spanish, but we need to be able to
communicate
if there's an issue or something broke down. Or
Jim, I speak fluent Spanish.
Pardon?
I speak fluent Spanish. If you need somebody,
you're not
going to
be here, Nicole.
No. I have a phone.
Yeah.
You're not going to be contracting representatives, I don't believe. So
I have a phone. If it's that big of a deal that you're not able to speak to somebody who should be knowing, I will talk to them on the phone. But you can't discriminate against people.
All right, we got you.
It's
illegal, my guy.
It's not
against the law.
Yes, it is.
Your phone also has an app on it where if you're talking to somebody who doesn't speak your language, you can communicate with them.
But there is no
police department following me, and I've seen them use it.
And there is no official language in this country.
Talk to the attorney. See if we can have somebody. If not, take it out. I'll defer to the legal.
Yeah, why are you so defensive about something that simple? Like, and rolling your eyes at me. What is your problem?
I don't have a problem because I had guys replace my roof and they were all Hispanic. But there was
and
one guy,
you're rolling
there
your
one
eyes
guy
at me
that
for
I could talk
that.
To that had, if I had an issue.
And yet you are rolling your eyes at me for saying it.
Okay.
I am not going to deal with the disrespect.
Talk to legal is my recommendation.
Let's move on to the. So, right here it says the highest standards of horticultural excellence. What is the definition of that?
We just want the best job that we can get.
But if we're going to put this in, if we're going to put this in the contract, there has to be a definition for what the highest standards of horticultural excellence is. And that's just like a hyperbolic statement. The best is great, but if we're putting this in a contract, doesn't it have to be quantified?
That's nice. Scratch the hood and send me a copy.
Okay.
Or rewrite it. So we can review what we're doing.
Okay. I'm sorry, Joyce.
The mowing jobs that have been done by certain companies for years, have you had any complaints? Has anyone had any complaints about or
the I've gotten no complaints, but we have to get it out for bid. in order to make sure that it's...
It's according to the town of Trent. It's not our request. It's the town of Trent.
No. Yeah, it's in order to comply with the law, we have to get it out for bid.
Needs to be in the document, you'll hear that.
Yeah, if there, he's the person who's been doing it, I'm happy to, take suggestions. One other thing that we talked about at the last meeting was, so here we have it for 1 year. We had talked about doing it for 3. Do we want to make it 1, or do we want to make it 3 like we'd...
Make it what? I'm sorry.
So we had talked about making it 3 years, and here the draft is we've got for 1 year.
It's 1 year with a renew option of 4 additional years.
Right. But these mowing contracts, we can have the initial contract for 3 years. So, that way we don't have to do this every year.
What happens then if Jad bids on the job and he happens to be a higher bidder and we get a lower bid with the same quality? Do you want to give that person 3 years? You want to have it for another year so that you can maybe get Jad back?
Well, as we mentioned in the last meeting, according to the lawyer, there are other factors that we can take into account on the bid. So, I don't know what you mean by better. So we can take into factor 20 years of service. We can take into account that the person lives here.
I don't know.
We
about
can.
That.
I mean, that's.
I'm trying to keep myself out of this. That's why I'm not saying anything.
And
but
he
I
is.
I do have to say anything that he said to Jim is wrong. He disagrees and argues with everything. I've emailed him a couple times and about this, and it's just...
You're supposed to recuse yourself from any decisions that might benefit you. You're supposed to get up and leave the room when these discussions are taking place. That's what refusal is. It's a conflict of interest, Jim. Everybody loves you. Everybody wants you to have this. But you've got a clear conflict of interest. It's an ethical problem.
The lawyer said it wasn't a conflict of interest.
Yeah. Why put yourself in jeopardy like this?
I mean, he's not been participating in this discussion. He's been silent, and I'm being completely impartial.
You're not being impartial. All of a sudden, you just said 20 years service. So you've already said you're going
to. This is what
Jad.
I did. Don't put words in my mouth. I did not say that we were just going to give it to Jad. I said, as I mentioned in the last meeting, in our discussion, my discussion with the lawyer, those factors can be taken into account. If you've given 20 years of service, town being happy with that service, living close, these are factors we can take into account when evaluating bids.
Did you not look at the resume and then they have 15 years of experience in a job and not consider it? That is
and I'm not saying we're just giving it to Jad.
I have a question, Mayor.
Yes.
If I may. So can you? I mean, it's a 4-page document, so it takes a lot of time to go through it. Is it against the rules for you to take it with you because it was emailed to you? I think.
Yeah, we
had for you to edit it and just say I don't like this, I don't like this. And then send it back to your councilman, and then start from the edits.
I mean, yes, there is that, but we were also in 2 meetings ago. We were asked by the town to be more transparent about these decisions. So that's why.
But if you do track changes, and you've already said, well, we don't like this, then maybe you can just take it out. It seems like a more streamlined yet transparent process that would be less painful.
I would love it to be more streamlined and less painful. Unfortunately, public discussion is part of the process. So, I don't want to give there any sort of appearance that I'm just writing this to give it to Jad, because I'm not. But
kind of unrelated, if I can ask one more question. Sorry.
Sure.
So this is not the way meetings are.
Yeah. Well,
in any sort of thing. I know that. But you know, if you're going to argue that the charter's not being followed, then we can't just have people speak out whenever. Never been to any formal meeting when that happens. Well, the time for public comment is in the beginning if we are going to start operating more like a real town.
You mean legally?
Jamie, so you can't ask questions?
Yeah,
we've been doing that.
Yeah,
here's the thing. I like that we do that, but it's not productive to the meeting. If we're supposed to get through a certain agenda, we have to allow the council to talk and work through it themselves.
So if we want, I can make my edits. I can forward. Do I have a non-PDF version of this?
Make sure that you do have one.
Okay.
I just don't want you to lessen the standards of the town to come up with something shorter, because it doesn't mean anything either way that we put out this to anybody. Yeah. It holds their feet to the fire.
Yeah.
So.
And I'm.
I'd rather have more protection for the town. I don't want the contractor telling me how to write specs for the town. I want to write the specs for the contractor to follow.
And I appreciate that. And I'm not trying to be combative. I just
being short on that. I'll send you the draft.
Yeah, I'll double check and make sure I know I've got at least a PDF version of it.
Okay.
I can, but to keep this from going for hours. And as far as the timing is concerned, I mean, we can, if the growing period is considered April through October, with the option of looking at November and March as potential add-ons, we can. So the March meeting is March 12th. If we review the bids for the March meeting, that should be time to
Well, we got the workshop yet.
So, I mean, we can, as long as we get it posted and, you know, we get those, we get all the bids. And I think, are there any objections to the bids and questions going to town office at Burkittsville rather than just mayor or one of the council members?
Oh, I don't care where it is. I'm just saying, I just need somebody who knows about the specs and the mowing because those answers the questions. So you would be familiar with mowing. Matt or I would be familiar with mowing. But if the questions go, they need to be answered fairly quickly in a phone call or back in email. That's all.
You have only written questions will be answered.
Well, as far as written questions, I'd say written questions, I think the questions should be in writing. That way we have CYA. I mean, we can.
Well, we've got a site visit should answer most of the questions.
Yeah. So, but the thing is, if we do a site visit, do we have to do
a walk-around?
Walk-around, or are the photographs sufficient, which I realize we took out.
Well, I think it's better to do a site visit so guys will understand how many posts they got to mow around at the pond and what have they got to mow around at the playground. And I don't mind doing that kind of thing. And I mean, I've got time to do that and make it clear enough for anybody that would be bidding. We may not have anybody want to show up for that.
Fair.
But
okay.
Either way,
I will submit my revisions. So if we get it, so basically the way we're supposed to do it is we get the bids, we open them at the meeting, we review, and vote then.
It's also legal to have an on-site visit. You can answer questions as long as all the contractors are there. And you answer the question, everybody can hear it, and then you go back your merry way. Then you get your bids.
Okay. All right, that's fair. I will put in the revisions and get that by the end of this week.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, where were we? So the trash at the pond and the playground. So I have talked to J&J, and they can only pick up their totes because of the arms on their trucks. So if we were to get them to do the trash at the pond and the playground, we would have to replace the barrels with the with one of the J&J totes that the residences have. if we want to keep the barrels, it's about $100 each to replace them, and we have a local business who is willing to pick up the trash for $40 a quarter every 2 weeks, which works out to $7 each time. So that's where we are with that. Do we want to move forward with replacing the barrels? Because I think the town was pretty clear that most people did not want us to put the J&J totes.
I'll make a motion to let Mason buy the barrels and let Mason pick it up at least for the next 6 months.
I'll second.
Okay. All right. Favor? And Jed has recused. Yes.
The trash collection for the park and the fishing pond and all that. Have you written up a list of requirements for what needs to be done and if people have insurance and all the rest of these things, if they're bonded? You know, like a whole list of things to, you know, and put it out for bid.
Well, if it's $160 a year.
Okay.
We're
reviewing all the things that happen in this town now.
All right.
And it all should be under a level of control.
Yeah.
And there should be guidelines for, doesn't matter how much you're paying the person for picking up trash.
Well, there will be.
Are you bonded? Do you have insurance? Okay. All these different things. Are you just a requirement for the job type or the position or whatever he's going to be doing or whatever the company is going to be doing?
There will be a contract. It's two bags of trash every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And there'll be a contract and it'll be on file in the office.
If he backs up to the fence and breaks the fence and drives away, go, oh, sorry. The town has to have protection. You know, a guy has to have some kind of insurance, like a COI on the file, for whatever company would be doing the work. Okay?
Okay.
No one comes into the cemetery to work without a COI on the file and a minimum of $1 million worth of insurance, as an example. Okay? So anybody even that works in the town should have that. So it's not like you just say, oh, yeah, let's get the trash collected, but sign it won't, thank you very much. There's no guideline, no real guidelines or, you know, it's just somebody coming to do it, right? You need a little more than that.
So if I decide to just continue picking the trash up every 2 weeks from those, so I would need to have that sort of insurance.
I mean, how hard is it to make up a list of the guidelines?
Yeah, it's not that hard. It's two bags of trash every 2 weeks.
But I'm sure there's probably something in the charter about it. But that's what we're finding about when you're contracting with people and stuff like that in this review. You have to set the standard and follow it. That's the issue. Okay? It's not picking on anybody. It's just you set standards and you follow them.
Yeah, and if the requirement is over $1,000 and needs to go out to bid, yes. And, you know, that's a $1,991,000, but I'm not going to argue with that. We're just trying to get the trash there to keep from piling up And, yeah, we'll take the steps that we need to take to make sure it's
set a standard for it. Doesn't matter how much you're paying to get it done. Okay. There needs to be a guideline, and they got to have insurance and things of that nature. The town has to be protected. Okay, in case somebody runs into something or does something or hits somebody's car that's parked on the street, who knows what? There's all kinds of scenarios. It's just like, it's a simple thing. Draw up a document, here you are. You sign it, you understand this, let's see your insurance forms, and move forward from there.
Which is exactly what we were going to do.
Okay.
And as soon as we have... So the...
Just for the record, Mason is insured and licensed on his own.
What's that?
Just for the record, Mason is insured and licensed with his own business.
Okay.
So...
Moving on to the welcome sign replacement. Is there any update on... Okay. And so the last item of business is the process review committee.
Citizens Review Committee.
Citizen Review Committee.
Well, we submitted, I guess it's 8 or 9 pages of recommendations to the council for their review and to get back to us. We've included quite a few items, and I think the committee of Paul, Chuck Round, Mark Carroll, and myself, we went through this line by line, and I'm recommending that the council allows to be put on either somewhere on the website or someplace so the town can take a look at it.
Yeah.
Or what are your recommendations?
So I do have a couple of questions.
Sure.
So the Citizens Review Committee, as we posted it, there are rules that they need to follow, one of which is that these are public meetings. Were these meetings posted publicly?
Committee meetings are not, I don't know if they're necessarily public, but we do are, once the committee has got a draft, then that should be made public, absolutely.
Right, but
and everybody was open to the committee.
Right, but part of the requirements for founding is that the meetings would be public and posted.
I didn't get that.
So, I mean, that was in the... So, I mean, going forward, this should be... I mean, there should be notification posted, and if you want it posted on the website, we can post on the website, we can post it. But, yeah, those do need to be public, and they need to be open to the public to attend.
I disagree with you, but go ahead.
That was agreed on the previous meeting.
Okay. Where do you want to go with the recommendation? I mean, it's over.
I mean, this
is too late for that.
Well, but, you know, going forward. So this municipal training, I mean, that is open for the MML, and there's some training recommended for the, that's suggested through the University of Maryland. That would be several... I mean, there's a cost associated with that. Is the town going to pay for everybody to go through these courses with the University of Maryland to get the certificate, which takes 5 years to get the certificate if there's no guarantee that anybody will be serving longer than 3? Yeah, I'm going down the list.
Yeah,
and
you have to
complete within 5 years.
What we're saying is there is training available. The town needs to decide what kind of training that the council should have. And but a lot of it is online. A lot of it is through the state. You don't have to be accredited, but you can take ethics course, you can take public administration, you can take administration. There's some clerk courses that need to be taken. I'm not saying you have to pay for everything, but I'm saying you've got to give the guys and ladies an opportunity, and we can do this online. MML has training as well. But we, if nothing else, they should at least be trained in the charter. Yeah. And 90% of what we do is charter obligated.
So down here for the Town Acts and Ethics Law, equivalent to state law, which, I mean, that's... I mean, that's something we should be following. And right here when it calls out...
Right here, Jed, what page
down is here on Section 3, A... and it talks about Jad not participating in any decisions or well, here it says, you know, discussion of decisions, part of... Recruits himself, and he has not participated or voted on any of the things that directly affect him or his family. Mayor and council should begin inviting the legal opinion immediately. I've consulted with the lawyer and I've been following his advice. I don't understand what that means that we should be abiding by the legal opinion immediately if we're following what the lawyer's advising. Posting things on the website, we honestly thought we were getting things up on the website. The last years with the minutes have been posted now. Agendas are up there. We can get the minutes posted back as far as we want. So that's
you say that's in there. You do this, but as of day before yesterday in the website, the postings are still not there. They're not up to date. We've still got marches. In there.
It's been.
I know you have access.
They are
Michael has access.
They are up to date. Yeah. Now the calendar had a malfunction in it. So if you're looking at the calendar, none of the town meetings were showing up. But all the meetings, the agendas have been up to date. The meeting minutes as of March, you hadn't gotten them from Debbie. So that's why those were on.
So it's taken me months to get everything scanned in, and
now, this isn't something we're going to do immediately.
Right, but you're just done. Yeah, it's and it's not, and it's something I've been working on for months, finding out that things weren't done, and I'm working on getting it fixed. So where is now, if I can ask Jamie the improprieties that you're talking about in the stock, specifically where I understand what you mentioned earlier.
$80,000, and we've heard nothing. You
you inherit no files, no records of contracts and grants from the previous mayor. You're piecing them together yourself. We paid for Shore Scan for 6 years. What was that? $80 a month times 12 times 6, whatever that is, $6,000, $7,000, that she told us documents were being scanned into. You are the first, you are now scanning documents in. So when are we going to get to the bottom of this? Maybe there's miscalculations. Maybe there's accounting mistakes. But we need to get to the bottom of this. There is a disregard for the law of our state. Why does that concern me? I'm a public servant. I've been managing federal grant programs for the last 32 years. It is important to be good stewards of the public funds. This town is not managing our tax dollars. That is appalling to me. I am so upset and I'm so angry. I can hardly come to these meetings. And you're fighting with Jim, who's asking questions. He's a public servant of 35 years. This isn't personal. It's not about Debbie. It's not about Chad. It's not about any of you. It's about our public dollars and being accountable for them. So if you want to make that document public instead of sitting up there and going through it page by page, people here do not know what you're even looking at. But this is appalling, and this is not going away. Whether Jim lets it go, I am not letting this go. This is not going away. And if we have to go to state officials, if we have to go to the media, we're going to get to the bottom of where the money is. And maybe it's sitting in some house, and we just are a disaster with our accounting. That's what I hope. But I fear if you don't get to this, that it's going to be really bad. This is just going to continue. This can't continue.
So one of the things that we asked for the Public Review Committee for was look at the last 5 years of the three accounts. And there were some erroneous transactions coming from the money market account and things that are coming out of the street fund that should have come out of the general fund. And so the question is, like, has the review committee, that was one of the things that they were supposed to be looking at.
We're still looking at
okay.
the financial side of the town. It takes a lot longer to go through that. But what we have mm-hmm. found by looking through the financial checking accounts, the money markets, the treasurer's reports, what we have on grants, what we can find, this paper has documented the errors and the improvements that we can make, even though we still have to continue working on the money audit part. So these are the best business practices that we've identified that need help. So if we put these things together, the rest of it will follow. But we've still got some issues with money and questions about, especially the grants. Mm-hmm. So this is the progress of what the committee has done up to this point.
Well, I mean, the message that we had was, you know, come with questions. So I had questions, but apparently.
When does the review committee think they'll be to a first task completed on the financials? Or
well, Michael
finished?
Wanted it done by March. We might get to a dead end. I don't know. It looks more and more like we should maybe go to more of an auditor than we trying to figure everything out. Because we're just not professionals to do it. We find hit and misses here, but then we lose information because it's incomplete. And we're not trained to fill in those blanks. But we've done an awful lot of work for the auditors that it would make mm-hmm. their job a hell of a lot easier, excuse me, that here's what we've got, take it and give us an assessment.
So our town audit, I mean, I should be getting the proposal for an audit from our accountant. And I mean, typically we're not due for another one for another 2 years, but they can do it. They can do it sooner.
Uniform financial reports are a joke. That just tells you what money we got or what money we've got and what we spent. It's not telling you what has happened internally. It's like taking the checking account and looking at it at a treasurer's report. And I did talk to that lady in there, what's her name, Sue or whatever her name was, and asking her if it was possible to do a detailed audit, not a forensic audit. And she was explaining to me the Uniform Financial Report is just that. It's just a surface of what it looks like of what you've been doing. But it does not get down into the nitty-gritty of details of what has been spent and where has the money gone and who's writing the checks for it. Or so, yeah, we might need a more acute auditing than a uniform financial report. And she did say not having a ratified budget is against Maryland state law. And we don't have an adopted budget. You have one that was proposed, but it was so much in errors that it wouldn't hold water.
But everyone still voted on it.
Right.
And
I've given you two revised budgets. And, no. And
we already voted on
it before
that, Jim.
But because of the reviewing the money that we have, we can't really. That's why we wanted to get the financials looked at by March, so we could set a budget for next year. Because we're currently operating on the one that was approved last summer, and really
checking accounts following. I mean, the treasurer's reports are following the checking accounts. You're not in the red. And, you know, you're not doing anything like that. We're in good shape there.
Yeah.
But we just don't have a uniform budget. We just don't have an approved budget. Anyway,
yeah.
We can still do it. We can still ratify a budget and say, let's go forward from here and know what we've got our leftovers. And in anticipation of June and May and June, get ready for July 1.
Yeah, I mean, we could do that, but we did vote on. I mean, you say it's a mess. I mean, do we?
So what would it?
I mean, what would it?
Let's do a proposed budget.
We got
the last one I did propose.
Yeah. I know, that's
and
what
we
I'm saying.
We can take a look at it, and I think we should sit down and go line by line and say, yeah, this is good, or this is bad, or this needs to be changed, or you didn't allow enough money here. Or, you know, that's what the proposal is, so that everybody has an idea of what's going on. And then we can say, all right, good. And then
would that be an amended budget?
Sure.
Yeah.
Or whatever. It's just as long as we got something concrete.
Yeah. Can I get since next month is a workshop and not a proper meeting, should we change that to a meeting?
We can.
And can I get a proposal? So we can do that, and then that way we can vote on it and go for the next couple of months.
So I propose we have set up a budget next month.
Yeah, it's February. I don't remember the exact date, but
February
9th? Sounds 10th. Right.
10th.
February 10th.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Make a motion to use February 10th workshop for proposed budget and ratification of budget. For
I mean, can we make fiscal year? Can we make it a meeting rather than a workshop so that we can vote?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Make a motion, we make it a meeting. to look at the budget and proposals and...
Can I get a second?
Discussion.
I'll second.
Okay. All in favor? All right. So February will be a meeting, so we can vote. And I have that, the last proposed budget. And we'll get that back out to everybody.
Be here.
Randy, is February 9th available here?
February 10th.
February 10th?
Second Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah, I pretty much reserve every month.
Okay. All right, so that'll be here. And I will get that updated on the calendar on the website.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
I second.
All in favor?